Hey everybody, if you want to tell the world something or sell the world something, head on over to Squarespace because they're going to help you build the website of your dreams. Say you want to sell some custom merch. Well, you can set up your online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com/stuff right now and you will face a free trial. And when you get ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF and then you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How could you go wrong with Squarespace?
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com. Stuff You Should Know is brought to you by Visa. We all have things we like to think about. Online fraud shouldn't be one of them. Because with every purchase, Visa prevents, detects, and resolves online fraud. Safe, secure, Visa.
Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. With me is Charles Chuck Bryant. As always, we're the Stuff You Should Know guys. So, hey, how's it going, Chuck?
Hey.
Hey.
It's going good.
So, with all the Olympic stuff going on, and it's all on Beijing and all that, this is like the second podcast of recent times that I've mentioned Beijing, because the Olympics are just so huge.
Right.
My question is this, Chuck. Did you know that there's an underground city beneath Beijing?
I did, Josh, because I read your really cool article.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Chuck.
You're
I appreciate
welcome.
That. Did you read the, is there a city beneath Beijing?
Oh, no. I thought the one you referenced in your article, Why Don't We Live Underground?
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's another article on the site, too, called Is There an Underground City Below Beijing?
Didn't read that one.
It's awesome. Let me tell you about it. So Chairman Mao gets into a little border dispute with the Soviets in 69.
Right.
And the Soviets basically show him, we're not messing around, pal. Like, we will come in or we will nuke you or whatever. This is at a time when the Russians were, you know, getting their chops with,
right,
with the U.S.
arming,
in the Cold
sure.
War. So at that time, China wasn't much of a threat to him. So Chairman Mao's like, okay, hey, maybe we should do something about this just in case. Puts the residents of Beijing, the capital city of China, to work for the next 10 years constructing an underground city that can house like 300,000 people in
That's
the event
nuts.
Of an emergency. It's very cool. It's still around, actually.
What is it now?
There's parts of it that are accessible still.
And right.
It's actually been turned into something of an underground mall.
Of course.
Right. And there's tours and that kind of thing. Apparently, it's pretty easy to kind of drift off from the tour and go down some forbidden corridors. So there's still, like, old bunk beds with rotting
wow.
mattresses, and there's pictures of Chairman Mao everywhere.
Right.
It's pretty cool. They also had, like, these little patches for growing, like, mushrooms and digging wells. And you could have lived in there comfortably for 4 months.
That's pretty cool.
All right.
No Olympic Village, though, that's not down there?
No, not at this time.
It's been a good idea.
Is this the Subterranean Mutants used it for
right.
their 2006 Olympics.
The Subterranean Mutant Olympics?
Yeah, they don't like to be talked about very much. But the thing was never used, thankfully, for the residents of Beijing. And actually, it's just one example of an underground structure. There's tons of them all over the place.
Right,
you know?
And a NORAD is one.
NORAD is a great example. What's NORAD?
It's a defense system, basically, that detects if, you know, people are going to send nuclear warheads our way.
Sure.
And not as useful anymore. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. But
no, actually, they were looking into decommissioning it in 2006. I didn't find any follow-up information. I don't think they made the decision yet.
Well, they smartly put NORAD inside a mountain, basically.
Cheyenne Mountain.
Yeah, 700,000 tons of rock they dug out of this thing.
Yeah.
And I think the door is like 3.5 feet thick, and basically they determined that we're safe no matter what happens.
Yeah, when they built the place in the 60s, they were 100% confident that it could withstand a direct nuclear strike.
That's nuts.
It is nuts. Nowadays, they're like, yeah, maybe in the 60s, not with today's intercontinental ballistic missiles.
Right.
The mountain would shatter.
Exactly. Maybe
which is
daisy
equally
cutter
nuts,
even,
actually, I think, you know, that yeah. we have ballistic missiles that we can just level entire mountains with.
Right.
So, but yeah, NORAD, it's kind of this, this homage to the security of underground living.
Right.
And the U.S. government isn't the only group to have, you know, come across this. It's not just Chairman Mao and Uncle Sam who figured out that, hey, underground, you know, is pretty secure. You know, insurance companies and information bureaus like credit reporting companies, Sun Microsystems, the people who run the internet and are the keepers of all of our information, they've discovered the same thing. I mentioned Sun. They just leased, I believe, an old mine in Japan and are now they now store their network servers below ground. It's very secure. You can't get in or out very easily.
Right.
And Chuckers, in our beloved city of Atlanta, we even have a couple underground buildings here or there.
Right.
I think you know which one I'm talking
underground
about.
Underground Atlanta, the famous, or once famous, Underground Atlanta.
I've got one even better than that, the old Equifax building, now occupied by the Savannah College of Art and Design.
Is that underground?
Most of it is very much underground to protect, you know, obviously it couldn't handle an intercontinental ballistic missile at Cheyenne Mountain Camp,
sure.
but it can handle something, you know, and burglars can't just, you know, prance in and out. So,
well, I know one of the other benefits to it being underground is natural disaster, weather. You have more constant temperatures, so mm-hmm. it's more energy efficient if you're underground.
Yeah, and you don't really think of houses as being, you know, too terribly energy inefficient. You know, obviously there's some fat we could trim here or there.
Right.
But I was reading a study that found that, you know, transportation is always cited as like the big or one of the big sectors that contributes to climate change. It turns out that all of the buildings in the United States consume 6 times more energy and emit 6 times more greenhouse gases than all the cars and trucks in the country combined.
Really?
Yeah. So apparently there's a whole sub-genre, subculture, sub-something of architects who have decided that, you know, it's kind of emburdened on them.
Right.
To kind of take up the mantle and start designing.
Go underground.
That's one of the theories. That's one of the ideas that's being batted around right now.
Well, why do you think more people don't live underground if it's so great down there?
Well, number one, if you thought, you know, talking Americans out of driving SUVs is difficult, imagine telling them that they have to now give up their nice, you know, two-story colonial or something like that. And they have to move into an earth-sheltered home.
Right.
I think that's number one. Number two, and I think the point that you were leading to, is that it's a huge old slap in the face of evolution.
Right.
Agreed.
Yeah, Chuck Darwin is rolling in his grave as we speak.
He would be just thinking of this,
right.
You know. Either that or he'd be salivating at, you know, a perfect natural experiment.
Right.
Like, yes, stupid humans, move underground and so I can take notes, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And the reason it's a slap in the face of evolution is that we're diurnal, right?
Right.
We are sleep patterns or wakefulness, all of that is based on the sun.
Right, circadian rhythm.
Yeah. So basically when we decide to go to sleep or wake up, it's generally, you know, based on the sun. Think about it. We're not farmers any longer, but it's kind of tough to sleep past sunup these days, right? Even though we don't have to be out there to milk the cows or, you know, plant the corn or harvest the corn, depending on what time of year it is.
But we've evolved that way, so there's no getting rid of it now.
Right. And we also are kind of linked to the sun. Well, I don't even want to say kind of. We are sun slaves, basically. The Egyptians had it right when they called the sun Ra and worshipped it, because that's pretty much how linked we are to
it. We need it. We need that vitamin D.
Yeah. Think about it, Chuck. We get all of our other vitamins from, like, milk, from
vegetables.
That's a great example. Yes, from chewing on rocks.
Right.
The whole thing. We get every single one of our vitamins from an external source except one. Vitamin D.
Yeah, that's
we actually
crazy.
Create that through a process of photosynthesis.
Right, within our own bodies.
Right, from the sun's radiation, it serves as a catalyst for vitamin D production in the body.
Right,
and vitamin D is important. How do you ask?
How, Josh?
It protects against rickets. Right. You ever seen a rickets patient?
Yeah, it's a bone disease.
It is. It's a lack of bone development. And actually, when I was researching this, there's 90% of the children in Europe and America in like some terrible couple of decades of the 19th century suffered from rickets. If they lived in an urban area, they had rickets to some degree or other. There's a picture of a girl who is a ricket sufferer. She's 19. Her name's Xiao Ling. It's in the article on HowStuffWorks.com. And she's 2 feet tall, and she's cute as a button, but she's 19, and she's struggled with rickets her whole life.
Right.
Hers is congenital, but, you know, there's all sorts of problems associated with a lack of vitamin D.
Right.
And don't forget the serotonin.
Yeah, serotonin's big. Serotonin is a hormone responsible for basically good moods.
Yeah, and you can get
in a nutshell.
Yeah, yeah. A positive outlook.
Sure.
Conversely, if you don't have enough serotonin, which is produced from exposure to the sun, or actually lack of exposure to the sun, you go out in the sun, melatonin is produced.
Right.
Okay. And once the melatonin production stops, meaning you're out of the sun, serotonin production kicks in. So one leads to the other.
Right.
So you have to have sunlight, which, accounts for seasonal affective disorder.
Right.
And it's not just the sun that we need. We need air, and we need air in certain supply.
Right.
And we also are pretty acclimated to the atmospheric pressure around sea level. That's what we've evolved to,
correct,
to adapt to.
Which is why scuba divers and even miners, it's the same thing as being underwater. They need mm-hmm. to depressurize or decompress as they come up.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So living underground poses a lot of problems to us. You know, should we listen to the ghost of Darwin, to Darwin beyond the grave? Should we traipse into this natural experiment, or is it too late? Have we already started?
That's a good question.
And the answer is yes, we have already started. You know, we were talking about NORAD. We were talking about Mr. Chairman Mao's underground city in Beijing.
Right.
There's a lot of actual, like, everyday architecture out there that's below ground.
Right. I know that the Marin County Jail is partially underground. It's kind of a cool-looking building.
Yeah, which provides for a lot of security. Like you were saying, it's more energy efficient.
Sure. It keeps the prisoners nice and cool.
Yeah, they're just kind of cooling out
there.
In Marin County. And there's a really cool example of an underground museum in Williamsburg, Virginia. There was this old colonial settlement from the 17th century, and rather than build this visitor center and museum above ground to detract from the natural scene, they actually built it into the side of a hill. Even cooler, this museum shut down in 2002, uh-huh. and as far as I know, it's still there, which makes it a prime spot for urban explorers to explore. So it's like a 1-2 punch for the How Stuff Works articles right there.
I don't know that we'd endorse that.
We would never, ever endorse
probably
that.
Probably trespassing, but
yes.
I bet it would be neat.
So you got any other examples?
Well, I know Alice City in Japan, the Japanese are kind of leading the way because mm-hmm. Japan is not the largest land mass, and there's a lot of people there.
They're land starved.
Yeah, so they're kind of leading the way, and instead of going up, 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 which they've already done in spades, they're going down. And Alice City is one example. It's not built yet, but it's a proposed, I wouldn't call it a complete city, but shopping mall. And
It also has, you know, restaurants. I think there's office space and living.
Right.
I think it's a bit of a stretch to call it a city.
Yeah, it's really cool looking, though. I checked out the pictures online today. It's really neat.
It is. It's like these two parallel shafts going like 550 feet into the ground.
Right, covered with a big bubble to let light in.
Right, and that's where, all the light comes in through these two domes, and the two domes are all you can see above ground to even know anything's there.
Right.
And then it's all connected by, like, these series of walkways and tunnels and everything underground. There's another proposal in Japan that I don't think ever came to fruition. It's called the Urban Geo Grid. This one you actually could call an underground city. It covered, it would cover 485 square miles.
Wow. Yeah, that qualifies in my book.
I would say that's a decent sized city. That's what, like, Kansas City, Kansas?
Yeah, something like that.
And it could hold or house or, you know, it could accommodate up to 500,000 people at a time.
Wow. This makes me wonder if, you know, what that means for the people on top. I mean, I'm sure they're taking all the right moves and shoring up everything underneath there. But when you weaken the ground underneath what's already a large city, it makes me worry personally.
Yeah. And there's all sorts of questions. I read a question from a guy who was saying, what does this do to the temperature of the water table?
Right.
Which we probably really shouldn't be messing with.
That right, because there's a lot of water underground.
Yeah. Although, I mean, we've made a pretty big mess of things above ground. I can pretty much predict that we'd make an equally big mess below ground, too.
Right.
But, yeah.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Wow, yeah. Can you imagine how bad it'd be then if we couldn't even see it?
Right.
It'd be like the Great Pacific Garbage Dump. Right? You read that one?
Yeah, I read that one. That's
another one. Wow, we've just been hitting them all over the
right.
place
it's
in this podcast,
fest.
Chuck. Yeah, it is a plug fest, Chuck. And our listeners can read all the articles we plugged today, all on HowStuffWorks.com. And hang around to find out which article makes Chuck really crabby right after this. Chuck, what?
Hey there, are you thirsty? Well, before you take a sip, have you stopped to think about what's in your water? Many conventional bottled waters contain PFAS, harmful substances known as forever chemicals. But you can drink water as clean as nature intended.
Richard's Rainwater collects 100% pure, refreshing drops of rain. Yes, it really is rain, everybody. This rain is caught clean before it hits the ground or becomes polluted with pesticides and contaminants commonly found in groundwater.
Yep, Richard's Rainwater is naturally pure with no need for harsh chemicals or additives. That means no added fluoride, no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing.
And you can enjoy the clean taste of Richard's still rainwater and the long-lasting cold-pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. And we even have a special offer, don't we, Josh?
Yeah, text STUFF to 2512928887, and you'll get $2 off a 12-pack case of Richard's Rainwater. Sip the sky. Hey everybody, we're here to tell you about Viator, a tool that you can use to plan and book travel experiences around the world.
That's right. The Viator app and website make it easy to explore 300,000 plus travel experiences so you can discover what's out there no matter where you're traveling or what you're interested in.
Yep, Viator can help you plan better travel experiences. 300,000 plus travel experiences to choose from means you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy.
That's right. You can also enjoy real traveler reviews to get insider information from people who've already been on the experience that you're considering. Plus, you get free cancellation that helps you plan for the unexpected.
Yeah, and Viator offers 24/7 customer service, so you know you'll get support at any hour if things aren't going as planned. So download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find the perfect travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What makes you crabby?
Well, a lot of things make me crabby, dude. But,
give me two examples.
Traffic and heat.
Bravo.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
But this was actually a little bit of a cheat, a little bit of a pun. It's actually the article Inside Deadliest Catch, which is an article that dives in. There we go again. To the world of crab fishing from the awesome Discovery Channel show, Deadliest Catch.
That's fantastic. Well, I beg our readers to forgive Chuck for his puns and misleading words. And I also beg you to please go read Inside Deadliest Catch on HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Are you thirsty? Well, Richard's Rainwater is caught clean before it even hits the ground. Rain is naturally pure, so there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. Richard's Rainwater contains no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of still rainwater or the cold pressured bubbles of sparkling rainwater. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. And for a coupon, text STUFF to 251-292-8887 and receive $2 off a 12-pack case of Richard's Rainwater. Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.